I'm going to begin this morning with a story about a woman in Huntersville, but I'm actually going to tell you who it is. It's none other than our beloved Kelly Boland. So, being a worrier, Kelly was a little bit concerned about her baby Alexis when Alexis decided to go off to school in kindergarten. And so Kelly decided she would walk her to school every morning because Alexis was still just a baby. Well, Alexis decided that she was a big girl. Now, I told you that Alexis is wise beyond her years, so she wasn't very mean to her mom about it. She said it very tactfully, but pretty much said, "Mom, I can walk to school by myself. I am a big girl." So Kelly decided surely she could outsmart her five-year-old. So she asked her neighbor Nancy, would she just kind of secretively just happen to be going for a walk every morning about the time Alexis was going to school? At a distance, but, you know, still close enough that she could keep an eye on things. And Nancy was up early with a toddler anyway, so she said, "Yeah, sure, that's no problem. It'll get us up and out the door for exercise." So a couple days go in, and this new routine is going pretty well. And Alexis is walking to school with her friend, and her friend turns at her and says, "Alexis, hey, have you noticed that lady? She keeps following us every day." Alexis just nonchalantly replies, yeah, I know who that is." So her friend continues, "Well, who is the woman?" And Alexis says, "Oh, that's Shirley Goodnest, and that's the little one, that's her daughter, Marcy." So her friend said, "Okay, but wait, why does she follow us every day?" And Alexis said, "Well, every night my mama makes me recite the 23rd Psalm with my prayers because she worries about me so much. And in the prayer it says, Shirley Goodnest and Marcy will follow me all the days of my life. So I guess I just got to get used to them." Any of us who are parents can completely relate to Kelly. And we also worry about our babies. We worry about our children because they are the most precious things in the world to us. But as much as we love them, and as precious as they are to us, God loves them more. And they are far more precious in His eyes than we can even imagine. Alexis, Elena, Emma, Walker, and Olivia were up here. And they were adopted into Christ's family when they were baptized years ago. But today they took a step in their faith and they said that now as an adult, I recognize my place in His family and I praise God for sending His Son to die on the cross so that I could be adopted into that family. And as we paid witness to that this morning, we all made a promise to continue to guide and nurture and help them to be active and faithful members of the family. They in turn answered three questions. So to all of you this morning, since you've witnessed these young people take a leap in their faith today, I think it's time that we too took a step back, look into our own lives, and see if we can answer those three questions. So the first, do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? It's very easy, and we can very confidently say yes pretty quickly to that one. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me, and I accept that. But when we reflect on the weight of what that means, that's when we have to ask that question more honestly. Looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 19, it says, "So from now on, we don't look at anyone the way the world does. At one time, we looked at Christ in that way, but we don't anymore. When anyone lives in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God. He brought us back to Himself through Christ's death on the cross, and He has given us the task of bringing others back to Him through Christ. God was bringing the world back to Himself through Christ. He did not hold people's sin against them. God has trusted us with the message that people may be brought back to Him." When you all accepted Jesus into your heart, your life changed. When you look in the mirror, you should not see the same person anymore. But I get it. That's a lot easier said than done. When I look in the mirror, I see things about my physical appearance that I don't like, that I wish I could change, and immediately I feel my self-confidence begin to plummet. I look in the mirror and I see a mom who lost her patience with JB because he decided to run away instead of listening. I see a wife who was so consumed with my own busy schedule that by the end of the day, I had very few words left to offer Jimmy. I see a daughter who kicks herself for being too busy to have a longer phone call with my parents at the end of the day, knowing they are struggling from just losing their son. I see a friend who forgot to text and check on my friends who are dealing with stuff in their own life. I see a daughter of Christ who doesn't pause long enough to hear God speak back to me during my prayer time, and then I have the audacity to question why he doesn't speak to me. We accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, but we fail to regard ourselves in that way. Forget the world seeing us incorrectly. We regard ourselves from a worldly point of view. We love to sit in front of the mirror and nitpick all the things that are wrong with ourselves, all the ways that we fall short. But today I challenge you to look at yourself. Ask not, do I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, but do I live like I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? Because there is a big difference. Paul said in this verse, he brought us back to himself through Christ's death on the cross. When we beat ourselves up and we forget that we're born again, when we fail to live the life that we are called to as new creation in Christ, we say that Jesus' brutal death on the cross was in vain. Accepting him is not the finish line. It's simply the start of a journey. You've got to live your life like you believe that you are a son or a daughter of the living King. You've got to say, thank you, Jesus, for what you did for me on that cross. I recognize that I do not deserve it. But because of your sacrifice, I am yours. I am adopted into this royal family. I am made new in you, and that is amazing. That makes me amazing. Because of God's love, that mercy, forgiveness, that is what makes our new creation possible. So we should strut our stuff, walk around with our head held high, and not see ourselves from a worldly point of view anymore. The next time you look in the mirror, try to see yourself the way that God sees you. Our youth went through last Sunday, we went and did prayer rotations. And one of the rotations, they sat in the youth room in front of a big mirror, and they just praised God for who they are. And now as at the time of being 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, you don't always like what you look in the mirror and you see. But I'm trying to teach them that we praise God for who we are. And I have to learn to start doing that as well. Once we begin to see ourselves as this new creation that is precious and beautiful, you can bet that Satan is not going to like it, which is where the second question that our confirmands were asked comes into play. Trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you renounce evil and its power in the world? When you stop to think about that, it's really awesome. We have the power to renounce evil in the world. Because of the gracious mercy of God, we have power. So if you stop and think about it, it is so liberating. You have the choice to renounce the evil that is thrust on you on a daily basis. The evil that you say is holding you back, that's ruining your life, is making you a person that you don't want to be, you have the power to stop it. Quoting my current favorite movie, War Room, we have the power to tell Satan to go to hell where he belongs because Jesus has already defeated him. Satan knows what your pressure points are. He knows your weaknesses and he delights in setting you back. pushing you further and further away from God and into an agony that He wants for your life. I don't know this for sure, but I can imagine Jesus looking down at us in this struggle and fight with Satan on a daily basis. And He's up there saying, "Wait a minute. Remember that thing I did on that cross for you? I did that so that you could tell Satan to get out of your life. Why are you letting him control you? Why are you staying chained to him? What are you doing? I did the hard part. Just accept the new creation that you have in me." We've got to start fighting him off. So what does it look like to fight him? Well, that means the insults that were hurled at you, years of abuse, the struggle you feel over your own emotions, you don't have to feel it anymore. Don't give those feelings power over you. I shared a long time ago, but I struggled for years with the way that I felt about myself because of words. Words of people that some of them didn't even know me from high school and college. Words hurt. I'm not claiming they don't. I'm not saying that you're not allowed to feel bad and hurt. But instead, don't give them power over the rest of your life. I've been there. I gave them way too much power in my life. And being fully open and honest, I still struggle with it from time to time. I allowed Satan to rob my joy for years. He threw me into slavery. I devoted every moment, every thought, and every ounce of energy I had over stressing about eating as little as possible and working out as much as I could. I literally, that's all I thought about. And instead of hearing God's truth, I focused on the enemy's words. I repeated the words of people over and over again in my mind. And as I did this, I was allowing Satan's grip to get tighter and tighter on my life. Eventually, I did turn to God and realize that I was giving those temptations and those struggles power over my mind and power over my heart that I claimed I gave to God years ago. You too have places in your life where you are allowing Satan to win. You allow Satan to rob your joy and make your life something that is far different than the new creation you claim to have. But the amazing news is that through the mercy of Jesus, you can regain that control. You can get back on the path of healing. Jesus already did the hard part on the cross for you. So all you have to do is accept his gift. And I went back and forth. This would be where I have my little asterisks. I went back and forth with deciding, do I show this video? Do I not? Fred literally just showed it. But you know what? I'm showing it anyway. It's totally worth watching again. So it's the part of the movie War Room. And I want you to picture yourself being Elizabeth Jordan. I want you to imagine yourself up here telling Satan to take a hike. And for those of you who have never seen the movie War Room, just very quickly, Elizabeth is the mother in this scene. And she recently decided to recommit her life to Jesus. So she's sitting in her prayer room and she's praying. And guess who caught wind of the fact that she was drawing closer to God? Satan. So what does he do? He starts attacking. And she gets a text message on her phone from a friend that says, "Hey, I see your husband in a restaurant with some other woman. That's not you. What's that about?" So through her tears streaming down her face, she is sitting and praying, and it doesn't show this, but she's sitting there and she's praying and she's crying, and she looks up and she had been writing prayers on the wall, and she sees the verse, John 10:10. "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." So let's watch that clip of what she discovers her power is.
No more. You are done.
The world that we live in is not like that, although it should be. We as a generation have become confused when it comes to placing blame. If this were not a Christian movie, if this had actually been real life, I'd be willing to bet Elizabeth would have done something a little different. She's sitting in her closet, she's praying, and she gets that text. But then she starts screaming at God, "Why? Why would you allow this to happen? Why, God? You said you love me, so why would you let my marriage fall apart? Why would you allow my husband to be tempted and unfaithful?" How transformative would it be if instead of placing blame on God for our problems, we attacked the enemy who was actually causing them? God gives us that power, and it's about time we start using it. This is no secret. It's not given to just us in this room. The ability to have a new life, to kick Satan out of it, is news that all of us have and should hear. Which is why our confirmands were asked the third question this morning. Will you participate actively and responsibly in the worship and mission of the church, living as Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love? As his faithful disciples, we are called to obey his word and to show his love to the world. I mentioned that our confirmands did an outstanding job of being Jesus in the world. I often tell our youth that when we reach over and we hug somebody who's struggling, we are letting God physically touch a person, heal them through us. That is a powerful gift, but it's also an amazing responsibility. The people out there in Huntersville, yes, because of the geographical area that we live in, they most likely have been exposed to God and know Jesus somewhat. But that doesn't mean that they know him. We are called to be his lamp on a hill, showing and sharing his love out there. Looking at your life, are you doing that? Or are you keeping this prized gift all to yourself? Or are you going to share it with the people that you come across? I'd be willing to bet if you're like me, sometimes we're really good at coming up with excuses as to why we don't. The excuses have become pretty good, too. And we start actually believing them ourselves. They kind of sound like, you know, I didn't show kindness to the clerk checking me out at Harris Teeter yesterday, but it wasn't my fault. I was the one having a horrible day, and she was completely rude to me. She sucked the last bit of niceness I had right out of me, so I was rude right back. Or, you know, they're really good people. Talking about religion is kind of awkward, but, you know, they're good people, so obviously they go to church because they're nice. I don't want to push and impart my beliefs on them. The last one is my favorite, and I was a pro at using it. Loving someone, shining Jesus in the world, does not mean you start all conversations with, "Hi, I'm Christine, and you're a sinner, you need to know Jesus." What it does mean is that you just love the people around you. You don't have to throw Jesus at the clerk at Harris Teeter, although sometimes I want to. But your smile and the genuine, "How are you? How's your day going?" And you pause to listen for the answer. That shows compassion. And that shows Jesus to the world. Investing in the friendships that you have with people by genuinely caring about them as a person, hearing their needs, their thoughts and opinions, that is sharing Jesus and Jesus' light and love. So often we confuse Jesus' love with only people who don't know him already. That's the people who think when you are an evangelist, you only go to people who don't know who Jesus is. Someone can know Jesus and still need help a little every now and then. I told you after my brother passed away, Jesus loved me through our youth. At night, when I would be at my lowest point, my phone would buzz, and it was just a simple text, completely unrelated to Ben, had nothing to do with the pain I was experiencing, but it was a reminder to me that God loved me. He chose to love me through Haley and Zaina and Deshaun and Walker texting me about something completely random. Like them, you may have no idea the impact that your text will have on a person. You have no idea the change that you could make in the poor clerk's day. For all you know, she was having a worse day than you. But when we are so inwardly focused on ourselves and our schedules and our wants, we are blind to the ways that we could be healing other people, helping them to see that they too are new creations in Christ. I'm giving our youth some pretty cool gifts tonight. Well, not really, but just kind of cool. But the gift that they received is continuing their amazing relationship with their Heavenly Father, nurtured and supported by the best church family I have ever known. You and I have the same gift offered to us every day as well. So today, I charge you to remember to cherish that gift and to live your life changed. Live your life like you are a daughter or a son of the living King, using the power that you are given in that royal family. Renounce Satan and all the evil in your life, and then go out into the world and share that gift with others. And just as a side note, the family aspect is what's been so helpful for us. Feeling connected and feeling like we can share and be open and honest with each other. And that's where our No One Fights Alone comes in. We've purchased more bracelets, so if you would like a lavender No One Fights Alone bracelet, come and see me. I've got lots and lots of them, because you should remember that you're not in this fight alone. You're a new creation within a family of people who love you. Amen.